Hello again, my friend. Last time I showed you how a thread was saved at the very moment it might have snapped. Today's story begins after the danger has passed, when memory is no longer rescued but inherited. I want you to picture a room that feels almost ordinary. Scrolls are stacked neatly now. Titles are known. Students arrive expecting order, not chaos. The air is calmer, safer. And that, my dear one, is exactly why this moment matters, because nothing looks like it's at risk anymore. The work that once demanded urgency now feels routine. The habits Tyrannio fought to establish have settled into tradition. People assume the texts will be there tomorrow. They assume someone else has checked the copies. They assume the meanings are stable. Assumptions are dangerous things. This is where Diocles of Magnesia steps into the story, not as a rescuer, but as an heir. I watched him take his place quietly. No dramatic entrance, no sense of arrival. He had learned the methods before he learned the prestige. He knew where errors liked to hide. He knew which passages required patience. He knew that care once established still needed tending. What Tyrannio had done under pressure, Diocles had to do under comfort. That is a different kind of test, because when preservation becomes normal, the temptation is to hurry, to simplify, to teach results instead of discipline, to repeat words without listening for their weight. Diocles resisted that drift. He taught as he had been taught, slowly, attentively, with an insistence that understanding mattered more than fluency. He did not treat the past as finished. He treated it as something still breathing, still capable of being harmed if handled roughly. And in that unremarkable room, in those calm days after the crisis, something just as important as rescue was happening. The future was learning how to inherit without eroding what it had been given. Diocles understood something that is easy to miss when you grow up inside a working system. Stability can be deceptive. When things function smoothly, people stop asking why they work. They follow procedures without remembering their purpose. They inherit conclusions without inheriting the discipline that produced them. Over time, the shape remains, but the strength thins. I watched Diocles push gently against that forgetting. He did not present himself as an authority to be admired. He presented himself as a custodian to be trusted. In his classroom, students were not rewarded for quick answers, but for careful hesitation. He taught them to slow down when certainty arrived too easily, to ask whether understanding had actually occurred or whether familiarity was masquerading as insight. This was not stubbornness. It was stewardship. Texts survive only as long as the habits that protect them survive. Once those habits slip, the words may remain, but their meaning begins to wander. Diocles knew that the greatest threat to inheritance was not opposition. It was erosion. He held his students to standards that had no obvious payoff. There was no applause for accuracy, no reward for refusing shortcuts. But over time, something durable took root, a culture of attention. And attention, dear one, is how memory stays alive after the danger has passed. What Tyrannio built in crisis, Diocles preserved in peace. What one man saved by effort, another sustained by fidelity. That is how civilizations endure. Not through moments of heroism alone, but through generations willing to treat care as a daily obligation. This episode is supported by The Quiet Margin, for listeners who know that meaning often slips away in the spaces no one thinks to watch. The Quiet Margin makes finely balanced wax tablets designed for notes that aren't meant to impress anyone. No speeches, no final answers, just room to notice what doesn't quite sit right yet. These tablets are perfect for questions you're not ready to ask out loud, doubts that don't belong in tidy lectures, observations that feel important but fragile. Because here's the truth. Diocles understood. Erosion doesn't begin with disagreement. It begins when no one is paying attention. The quiet margin encourages a slower kind of thinking, Notes made here are meant to be revisited, reconsidered, and, if necessary, erased without embarrassment. Nothing written is permanent. The act of noticing is what matters. Side effects may include patience, intellectual humility, and an inconvenient desire to ask why long after everyone else has moved on. The quiet margin, where meaning waits until you're ready to handle it carefully. When I step back and look at Diocles' life, I don't see a single dramatic moment. I see continuity. And continuity, I've learned, is harder than crisis. Crisis sharpens attention. It gives you excuses to be vigilant. Everyone understands what's at stake, but continuity asks something quieter and more demanding, that you care just as much when nothing seems urgent. Diocles lived in that long middle stretch of history, after the rescue, before the forgetting. The world around him benefited from order without remembering how fragile that order had once been. His task was not to convince people that memory mattered, it was to prevent them from assuming it always would. This is how institutions are really tested, not at their founding, not at their collapse, but in the generations in between. Diocles kept the methods alive by insisting they be practiced, not just praised. He passed on how to read, not just what to know. He treated grammar, editing, and comparison not as technical chores, but as acts of respect, respect for the past and for the future that would depend on it. I have watched many human achievements fail at exactly this point. The tools survive, the language survives, the forms survive, but the care fades. And when care fades, meaning follows it out the door. Diocles did not allow that drift, because he understood something profound, even if he never said it aloud. What you inherit does not belong to you. It is only in your keeping. And that understanding, passed quietly from teacher to student, is one of the strongest threads in the tapestry I still remember. There is a moment, late in every tradition's life, when the question quietly changes. At first it is, will this survive? Later it becomes, what is this for? Diocles lived right at that hinge. Because once texts are stable, once methods are taught reliably, once the chain of custody holds, preservation alone is no longer enough. Knowledge has made it through the narrow pass. Now it begins to press forward, asking to be used. I watched Diocles prepare his students for that moment without ever pretending to control it. He did not tell them what to think. He taught them how to carry weight without dropping it. That is the strange generosity of true inheritance. You pass something on intact, knowing it will be taken somewhere you cannot follow. You give the future tools, not instructions. And so the work of memory for this generation was complete. The thread had not only been saved, it had been strengthened. It had been handed forward with care still woven into it. Which brings me to the next story. Because once wisdom survives, it does not stay in classrooms. Next time, I want to walk with you into the life of Seneca the Younger, a man who inherited this preserved learning and asked the hardest question of all. What good is philosophy when power, fear, and ambition press in from every side? We will see what happens when knowledge leaves the shelves and steps into the strain of daily life. Until then, dear one, take a quiet moment to notice what you've inherited and how carefully you are holding it. Much love. I am Harmonia. One more thing before we go. I have a small favor to ask. If you enjoyed our time together, if this story stirred something in you, please take a moment to give History's Arrow a 5-star rating. It helps others find their way to these echoes of the past. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next step on our journey through time. Better yet, share this episode with a friend, a fellow traveler, someone who still believes that history matters. And if you're curious about my family, yes, the loud, glorious, divine mess that is the Olympic gods, I tell those stories too in another podcast called The Olympic Family. It's full of love, drama, and plenty of thunderbolts. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, keep your heart open to the past and your eyes on the arrow. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.